the day after. So I apologize. I'm trying to get everything put together here. So I have hardly had a chance to say hi to anybody. So, but oh yes, the matching duo. So you got to sit together. Ah, very good. All right. Well, looks like some other people are going to be coming in for Sunday morning. But anyone like to start us off with praise or prayer request? Yes, sir. Brother Davis, we're glad to have you back.
Praise the Lord. We made it home, and the Lord just did a mighty work in Florida. I was telling a couple of people, half dozen times something happened just during the fair, and the Lord had provided for it to take care of it before we had a flat tire the first morning going in, and thought, no, I'm going to be late. And pull right in, there's an air pump, and I had a patch, not a patch, but a plug kit. Got it out, plugged it, and got there on time.
Wow.
Just had everything prepared, and so a lot of answered prayers.
Amen.
Lots of answered prayers.
Amen.
Had 618 people that prayed to receive Christ, 145 others, assurance to least heard the gospel, and 25,000 tracts went out.
Wow, that's incredible.
It's a tremendous blessing.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Please pray for our office with the death of our treasurer. A couple of people have told Brother John they would be interested in being trained to do that. They're not sure how that would work out yet. And so,
okay.
Guy had done this for almost 20 years and had volunteered his time to do it. And it's been such a blessing, so we know where he's at.
Amen.
His funeral last Sunday was a real blessing.
Wow.
It's a lot of godly testimonies of a man of God.
That's neat. Praise the Lord.
Keep us in prayer. We leave in 2 weeks.
Okay, all right. It's a short stint, but all right, so let's be in prayer for the Word of God that went out through the Florida Fairs and just a wonderful report in regards to that and answer to prayer. And pray for the AGM office and need of a treasure, and Lord's wisdom in that. And then also pray for the Davises that they can rest in these next 2 weeks before they head off again. And so may the Lord bless them here. So glad to have you back. Anyone else? Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. Okay. Oh. All right. So, yes, let's praise for Becky who was able to get into housing. We've been praying about that. And then she had a little daughter fell off the bed and broke her clavicle. And so has an appointment tomorrow, Children's Mercy. So be in prayer for them. They're really, really going through it. So. Yes. Okay. Yeah. And pray for Becky and her expecting a baby, that everything would, God's hand would be upon her. So, okay, thank you. Anyone else? Yes, Charlotte? Okay, yes, we miss Joyce today. She's traveling, and pray for them, a long way to go, so. So, anyone else? Others to add to these? Yes, sir.
Cameron's dad is waiting to serve you today.
Oh, okay.
He'll fix a complication from his hernia surgery he had just a couple days ago.
Okay, so he's on standby then? Okay, wow. Oh, my. So, let's be in prayer for Amber's dad. That he'll be able to be seen today and have surgery. So, okay. Anyone else? Yes. Okay. All right. Ernie has an unspoken request that's on her heart and wants to join her in that. I'm sure others as well. So thank you. Okay. All right. We've got another. All right.
We had an appointment.
Scipio is his name. He was act like he wanted to come.
Okay. All right. Arthur Scipio from jail ministry and acquaintance, so pray that he'll come today. So it'll be good. Yeah, there's several. I was in on Thursday, and there were several guys that were possibly getting out Friday or getting out Monday. So they've all said that they would like to come. So I got up. I literally stood up and said, "You come." I'm tired of people said they're going to come and they don't come. So anyway, we'll see. That'll do it. Shook my finger at him. That's right. So that's right. All right. Yeah, let's be in prayer for the jail ministry today. As believe, is it Lance and Brother Matt going in? I think so. I forget exactly. It's not me, so that's all I know. No, the word of God going forth, and just hungry men that need direction, need God's word, and constantly having news. So continue to pray for salvations, and that's needed. So, yeah. Okay. One of the ladies. Okay. So we've got a specific name here to pray for, Erica. She's looking for housing, so yeah, it's often a problem that they have coming right out of the jail. So, all right, anyone else? Yes, Jenny. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Let's continue to pray for Jimmy. God will continue to soften his heart to the gospel before it's too late. So, be good. All right. Anyone else? Okay. We could just pray for safety tonight. No injuries. No hard feelings. No. Oh, yes.
I think my boys are going to be here tonight. You know, Vance, he doesn't go to church anymore, but it really might mean a lot to him if he can really do good in that tournament.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
We really
make the tournament.
Yeah. I promise I won't block his shot, so. So, yeah. All right. Looking forward to the fun and fellowship there, so. All right. Anyone else? Oh, yes. Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, yes. All right. Praying for Dylan and Angela as they look to sell their house and to move to Fort Scott. So we're excited about that. And also pray for Dylan, not feeling well today, sick. So God will touch him. And I know it's been going around through a lot. So pray for your families. Oh, no. So that's rough. So. Very good. All right. Anyone else? Any other prayer requests? All righty. If not, then we'll go ahead and take our Bibles and turn to Romans. Turn to Romans 15, and we're in the section Paul is explaining his purposes and his missionary journey and coming to Rome. So begin reading in verse 14 of chapter 15 and read to the end of the chapter. Anyone need a little bit more time? All right. I hope we're kind of getting in our minds, and though I'm not having you read the first part of it, I would love for us to have in our minds memorized from the words of Scripture, what is the purpose of missions? What is the purpose of our evangelism and our ministry here in this church? According to Romans 15:8. That the Gentiles would glorify God for His mercy. That's why we want the word to go out. The Apostle Paul was a missionary, an apostle to the Gentiles, and he saw that Jesus Christ came. He was a minister to the Jews, so that the promises of God would be fulfilled, so that the purpose that the Gentiles would come to know Him as well. And goes and shows the Old Testament scriptures that show that this was God's plan all along. And now we can have great hope and be filled with joy and peace and believing these wonderful promises and abound in hope that the gospel is going to go forward, that the Gentiles are going to hear and they're going to understand. And so then the Apostle Paul begins to describe to them, even though they are able to admonish one another, God has given them spiritual gifts. He says, but God's given me a special gift, and I want to come, and I have spoken very boldly to you. And so he's justifying his reasons for why he has written the long letter, I guess you could say confrontational letter to some degree, or at least the authoritative letter, you might say, probably better. And we saw that he justifies writing them boldly because of the grace that God has given to him. God has given him a special ministry. And he is also justified in the fact that he has whereof to glory. He has ministry fruit that demonstrates the power of God in his life. And then we are coming to this, I guess we're in that section there, and we've talked about his desire, and he's describing his own ministry, and that is best summarized in verse 19 and 20, and I'm going to read verse 20. It says, so have I strived, there's a great desire, God has compelled him to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest he should build upon another man's foundation. So this, we've looked at that, and I've argued for the fact that that is a unique gift that God had given to him of a pioneer, an apostolic ministry. It says, there, I need to go out. Not that every single soul was saved from this huge region that he's talking about, but he's talking about from Jerusalem to, make sure I get the name of that, Illyricum. I mean, we're talking about all of Greece and all of Turkey and all from Jerusalem, it'd be Israel and Lebanon and all that type of area, just a large section. Doesn't mean that everybody was discipled the way they should have been, or you know that there wasn't work still yet to be done. But for his special pioneering work, he says, I've got to go. And so he was, verse 21, we looked at last time. This was a quotation from the Old Testament scriptures that says, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard shall understand. And so the purpose here is, he says, there in the context of that passage, it is the unbelief to the proclamation of the Messiah, who hath believed our report. Yeah. And yet in that context, there is this ray of hope that the Apostle Paul moves forward and says, I want to, there are going to be people who've never heard it, and they're going to understand. Yeah. They're going to come to know the Lord. And so he's driven to a new frontier. Begin to think about this. How old was the Apostle Paul when he wrote Romans? Best guesses is that he was in his early 50s. But when you look at, if you just look at life expectancy as a whole in the Roman Empire, taking in infant mortality rates, it was 25 years old. But you expect to have lived about 50 years in ancient Rome. Even for those, and so there's an aspect that really does change it. 4 years later, he writes to Philemon, and he says, Apostle Paul the aged. So he considered himself to be an old man. You know, look at all this that I've accomplished. And he was thinking, It's time to start a whole new continental mission. You're like, what? There's a whole new place that's never heard the gospel, and I'm going to be a pioneer. That's incredible to me, the determination and the go and the drive that he had. It's very interesting. We'll look at this in just a moment. But I want to just give a couple. I didn't get to finish that section. And just to give two examples, one an encouragement, one a prick in our sides. You know Adoniram Judson. He went there and suffered much, buried two wives, children. He was there for 9 years and barely saw any converts. He only had 19 people after 9 years that had trusted the Lord, and he had gone through an awful lot. And then after 19 years, at that point he had 270. And yet, even though that may seem small, those were people that he had baptized and that he had put through. He had a very stringent requirements. There's an element that I am not necessarily as familiar with, but there was a large turning of people to the Lord after prolonged ministry for Adoniram Judson. He said he had over 6,000 people stop at his house to get more literature during a certain time frame. He says some would come 2 or 3 months' journey from the borders of Siam in China. And they would say, "Sir, we hear that there is an eternal hell, and we are afraid of it. Please give us a writing to tell us how to escape it." He said others came from the frontiers of Cathay, 100 miles to the north, and said, "We have seen some writings that tell of the eternal God. Are you the man that gives away such writings? If so, we pray, give us one, that we may know the truth before we die." And others came from the interior, where Christ's name was little known. And they said, "You are Jesus man? Give us writings to tell us of Jesus." He wrote after 19 years of ministry, he says, "I sometimes feel alarmed like a person who sees a mighty engine to move of which he knows he has absolutely no control." All of a sudden, the work of God started moving, and he's like, "This is the work of God. People are coming. People are responding." And he's just knocking on his door in a way that he had never experienced before. There are going to be people that have never heard, and they're going to see. And you may go as a pioneer and lay a foundation, and you may prepare the work for others, or it may be that God, through many years of labor, blesses that work. Hudson Taylor often told a story of a man who came to one of his meetings while he was in China. He stood up in the meeting, which was very unusual for Chinese culture. He says, "I have long sought the truth, as did my father before me, but without finding it. And I have traveled far and near and found no rest. But I find rest in what we have heard tonight. I want to be a believer in Jesus." And he became one of the most faithful companions with Hudson Taylor in his ministry. And he went out, was helping him with gospel literature. And just in a casual conversation, he asked him this question: "How long have your fathers in England had the glad tidings?" Taylor was ashamed to say, so he kind of gave a general answer of, "Well, it's been several hundred years." "Several hundred years? How is it possible? You have known the truth for several hundred years. My father sought the truth for 20 years and died without finding it. Why did you not come sooner?" And so when it comes to this ministry of pioneer, those who have never heard, it's a good question. Anyone who comes could ask us that. Why have we not come sooner? It's interesting, the Apostle Paul, he felt the burden to go to Spain. We're going to see that he has another frontier that he has planned to reach. And yet we find in verse 22, he says, "For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you." You know what? The Apostle Paul has desired to get to Rome. And we're getting, as you've been reading through this, you see that he says, when I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey. That's in verse 24. So the aspect there is, I should just read through the text a little bit here. I'm jumping around. Verse 23, but now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. So the point here is that he's talking about is, I want to come to you, but I want to come through you. I want you to help me to go on to Spain. And so he's saying, but I've been hindered much from coming to you. And we might say that what would keep someone from this region of Spain? What would be so important that would tie up the Apostle Paul's time from allowing him to come? Because he's had a great desire for many years, he talks about. And I think as we study these verses, we are going to see the other aspects of ministry in missions. Not just pioneer ministry. But so I don't want us to think that that's the only rightful ministry that God wants us to support from our church. But there's other ministries that must be carried out and that we can participate in. And we see this in these verses. So just as it's just the Apostle Paul writing about some travel plans, it's God's Spirit directing us to have the same heart, the same ministry that He is laying out for us here. So everything is in Scripture is instructive to us. All right. Well, let's look here and see. We see that he has three trips planned, and we'll just kind of cover those in quick succession, and we'll come back. The first one is verse 25. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. So he's going the exact opposite direction. He's not going toward Rome. He's going back towards Jerusalem because he has a ministry that needs to take place. Then in verse 28, we see that when therefore I have performed this and have sealed them unto this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. So you see this, the second trip, I guess that's not as clear, but it kind of puts the emphasis on Spain. But we've seen here that I will come unto you. I'll take my journey into Spain. I will come to you. So the purpose of the Apostle Paul is to come to Rome. So he's going to Jerusalem. He says, I'm going to go to Rome. And then he says, I want to go to Spain. Do we have any record of him coming to Jerusalem? Yes, we do. Acts tells us about his journeys, and there were the apostle Agabus came, and the prophet said, "Oh boy, it's going to be bad for you." Here they took his belt off and tied up the Apostle Paul and said, "This is what they're going to do with the man who owns this belt." And so there's an element of, and yet the Apostle Paul knew that he must go to this ministry. Some people fault him for going, believing that maybe he was disobedient to the Lord, but I don't think that's the case. I think that he was doing what the Lord wanted, and there's some parallels with Acts and Luke that demonstrate the Apostle Paul was following in the steps of Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, knowing that he would suffer, and yet he was willing to lay down his life. And so the Apostle Paul gets there. So it didn't necessarily, now did he get to Rome? Yes, he did, but not the way he thought. He thought he was going to be at Jerusalem, and he'd be able to. He actually gets arrested in Jerusalem after being saved from being beaten, and they wanted to kill him. And he's in house arrest for Caesarea. Then they for 2 years, and then he goes on to Rome, and free ticket by the Roman Empire. And he comes as a prisoner, and he spends several years in Rome waiting to see Caesar. Now, does he ever get to Spain? We don't know about that. You know, there's no biblical record for this. He was under house arrest in Rome. We, according to tradition, and there's several Clement of Rome, and there's another ancient source that talks about that the Apostle Paul made a journey from Rome to Spain. Now, we don't know exactly, just a little small two different places that said, so we believe, if these historical things are accurate, that he was released, that he did go to Spain, and that he was imprisoned again. And in a second imprisonment, he wrote 2 Timothy, the last of his letters, and he was executed in Rome. And so that's his light aspect there. And so if we look back and say, what was the ministry of the Apostle Paul? What was he doing that was keeping him from getting to Rome and to Spain? We're going to see the other aspects of ministry. So let's take, you can keep your finger here in Romans, and let's just turn to Acts. Acts chapter 14. Acts 14. Here he is on his first missionary journey. And he's, verse 20, he's leaving. He says, "Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, rose." This was after his stoning. "And he came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and taught many, he returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch." All right, so here he's making his way back through several of the towns that he had been in and preaching. And what was he doing? Here's a ministry of missions, confirming the souls of the disciples. This idea of confirming is the idea of strengthening. He's coming through and he's providing a ministry by which he is strengthening these believers. How does he do that? Well, he's exhorting them. He's exhorting them to continue in the faith. And that though we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And so there's this element of don't slacken in the face of persecution. Yeah. Here's a man who, I don't know, did he got bruises from being stoned? Was that a miraculous healing of God where his whole body's restored? But otherwise, I mean, this guy's coming in with bandages on his head. Guys, don't give up. Yeah. Don't lose faith. Have courage in the Lord. And what an encouragement, how much that must have strengthened them. And he was also appointing leaders in the church. And when they'd ordained elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So there is this confirmation ministry. Turn over to Acts chapter 15, verse 40. This is when Paul and Barnabas split up. First, Paul chose Silas, departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia. Here's that word again. Confirming the churches. Strengthening them. Look over at Acts 16. That's the end of 15. He comes to Derbe unto Lystra. He's been there before. He finds Timothy, and he has a good report. And Timothy would go with him. And in verse 4 it says, "And they went through the cities. They delivered the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the truth and increased in number daily." Here's our word again. Established, strengthened, infirmed. And so there is a ministry work that the Apostle Paul was engaged in. In fact, you can turn over to Romans. Romans chapter 1, at the very beginning of this epistle. He describes his desire in verse 10 of Romans 1, making request, "If by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift." This is not talking about imparting to them spiritual gifts. He's talking about exercising his spiritual gift to them. And he says, "that to the end that ye may be established." So wherever the Apostle Paul went, he was going around with a certain kind of ministry. It wasn't just pioneer work. He was also making sure that the churches that were started, he was going back to them and he was strengthening them. Yeah. And so, yes, the call of Spain was deep on his heart, but there was still yet a work to be done in those places. He had to strengthen them and see them to be established. And yet he would leave men that would continue those leadership, and he would leave Timothy in Ephesus and Titus in Crete and other godly men that he would establish so that they would continue to establish the ministry that was there. And in fact, he believed that it wasn't just a one-sided thing. It wasn't just that he was confirming them, but that he would be comforted with them. Verse 12, he says, "That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." Now, how many people have we gone to bless? Have you personally gone to bless somebody? And how many of you have been on a missions trip? All right, the whole purpose of a missions trip is to get out and to go, and we're going to be a blessing. And yet you find that you come away stirred. Yeah. Your faith is increased. You are changed by the simple faith of other believers in their place. I remember going to Mexico, and it's amazing. Here we are, and we're looking around at these little shanties, and we went with the missionary. Now, the missionary, he had a house. He didn't have any running water or anything, but he had. It was right across the street where they just put tin on top of tin. And we even went on a ministry where, like, all right, we're going to this little village. All right, I'm thinking of a village. And we arrive, and this village is basically, it would be like from the sign up here down up to the top of the hill, and it was just along a road. And it was kind of like a row of trees, and people had put up tarps, cardboard things, and it was just one little dwelling after another all the way down the road, and that was it. That was the village. I'm thinking, people live here? And just it was incredible, the poverty and that type of thing. And when those believers got together, in the condition in which they were at, in which they had nothing, they had the joy of the Lord. And they wanted to give the very best that they had to us. They wanted to sacrifice and give us food and things that they would never personally eat themselves, so that we would not be inconvenienced. We would have the best. And I'm thinking, your best is a degradation to me in my life. I live constantly above this level. I never take a cold shower. Except those couple days. just incredible. And the heart that they had, they loved us in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we were changed. We were impacted. And there's an aspect to which it's not just going out and ministering to others. It's being impacted in the process as well. And you see this in his heart. You can see this in his own words in Romans chapter 15. Verse 24. He says, "I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company." You know what the Apostle Paul wanted? He wanted to be with believers. He longed to be with people that share the same heart and the same love. Don't you have a desire to be with someone than which you can get past all the trivialities of life and all the temporal things, and you can kind of just lay those aside and you can converse and communicate with someone who knows the great desire of your soul in the things of God? Isn't that a beautiful thing? He wanted to be saturated, filled with the company of these believers. You think about the Apostle Paul. He'd been up to the third heaven. He had seen great revelations. He was an apostle. But he wanted to be with those believers because that would refresh him. You can see that a little bit. I forget, verse 32, I think it is. Is that where it says, "That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed.
Amen.
When he sees someone who loves the Lord and wants to talk about the Lord and just that fellowship of mutual faith in God, that refreshed him.
Amen.
And what a beautiful thing. And so, let's see here. Yep, I don't have time to start the next one. But I'll give you a hint of what's going on. He wants to come to them to strengthen them. That's another part of missions. And I think if we talk about those who are in pioneer work, we have others that are like the Minnicks who are going to like Philippines. That was aspect of, I would not say that there's much pioneer work. There's probably some. But the name of Christ is the Philippines is pretty large. So, I mean, I'd be pretty ignorant. I'd rather have someone talk to it. But there's an aspect to which the gospel is going out. And Filipinos are pastoring, and Filipinos are training other Filipinos. It's really neat to see the work of God, what's going on there. But we have a missionary who's going there to strengthen those men who can strengthen the churches. And so I think that's a very, very valid aspect of ministry. The second ministry that we're going to see here is when we answer the question in verse 25, why must he go to Jerusalem? What is the purpose? Why is he going all the way back to that place? We're going to find out that he's got a gift. He's got a financial contribution from all, and he says this in verse 26, it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. And he says, I've got to deliver that. I've got to make sure that that gets there. And we're going to look at that because it's going to be interesting, because we're going to find out there's a financial participation that we can have in missions.
Amen.
That is a part of this. And we're going to see what the ultimate purpose is. And I think it's much deeper and beyond just the furthering of the work, because this isn't about pioneer missions. This is a gift to help believers in Jerusalem who are in great poverty. And the Apostle Paul sees this of absolute necessity, even to hold off his trip to Spain to make sure that this gets done.
Yeah.
And so I think it's going to help us too to see the importance of giving and missions and what our purpose and part is and what we do on a regular basis here. So I'll close it there, and we will be dismissed a little bit early, and we'll have a little bit of time of fellowship. So thank you. Andrew.